And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Larry Noble is in Hollywood instead of at his wife Mary's bedside in New York, where she is in a hospital recuperating from severe acid burns inflicted by the maniacal Claudia Vincent after Mary unearthed proof of her guilt of the murder of Oliver Wilson. The reason for Larry's sudden trip west is that Larry believes it is Mary's wish to have him far away, since he reasons she must hold him partially responsible for her present condition. Right now, we find him in the office of Sam Marco, a partner in the new Hollywood picture-producing company of Marco and Franklin. As Larry faces Marco across his highly polished desk, we hear him say,
"How do you do, Mr. Marco?"
"Hello, Mr. Noble."
"Tom Bryson appears to think very highly of you and your company. That's why I'm here. Always found Tom's judgment to be sound."
"Bryson's a very talented man, Mr. Noble. If I didn't feel that he was capable and sincere, I wouldn't have allowed him to talk me into offering an actor a contract sight unseen."
"Well, that's rather an unfortunate way of putting it, Mr. Marco. I don't like to tout my own press notices, but I'm not exactly unknown on Broadway."
"Well, Hollywood isn't Broadway, Mr. Noble."
"No, I grant you that. However, I was under the impression that you believed I was perfectly suited to the script you're working on at the present time."
"Your good friend Tom Bryson is the one who suggested that you'd be perfect for the part. I've never felt obliged to turn to Broadway for talent for my pictures."
"You're putting me in an uncomfortable spot, Mr. Marco. I flew to Hollywood at the request of Tom Bryson. From his wire, I understood that the deal was as good as settled. He didn't suggest that I had to sell either myself or my background."
"Now, don't get excited, Mr. Noble. I'm just giving you the facts. And perhaps you don't know too much about my company."
"As a matter of fact, Mr. Marco, I don't know anything about it at all."
"Well, then I'll sketch in the essentials. We've been producing pictures now for just under 2 years. And while we're a young company, we have every reason to believe that we're slated for great things."
"I see."
"We've released 6 pictures in all. We could have produced a good many more, but we're very critical about material. If you look over some of our credits, you'll see that we've kept to a high level of dramatic interest."
"Well, that's very interesting, but at the same time..."
"While our box office returns have set no worldwide records, the reception of our pictures has been very gratifying."
"Yes, of course."
"And so, in bringing you here to Hollywood, Mr. Noble, I'm perfectly frank to say that there's some hesitation on my part to accept Mr. Bryson's suggestion with the wholehearted enthusiasm he appears to feel."
"In that case, Mr. Marco, it seems to me you should have made that decision before I was induced to fly out here from New York."
"Well, Tom Bryson's a very persuasive man. You know, what's more, I'm attempting to negotiate with him for one of his plays."
"Oh, I see. Am I being used as the clincher on the deal? It's not a very flattering position from my point of view."
"You don't have many screen credits, Mr. Noble. I've been looking through your past record."
"That's quite true. The reason for that is that I've been busy in New York. If you've gone over my record carefully, you'll see that I haven't been idle much of the time, and that my list of hit productions on Broadway isn't something to be tossed off with a shrug."
"Oh, I've no doubt that you're an excellent actor, Mr. Noble."
"Well, thank you."
"But let me state my point of view."
"By all means."
"During the time I've been making pictures, I've concentrated on the script, the material, instead of scratching about for a vehicle for some high-priced star on my payroll."
"I should think that would be a very good way to proceed."
"And the reason I emphasize this point is that you're the first person of star eminence that we've considered for a picture. Something of a reversal of our usual policy, and I want you to understand that before we go any further."
"Perhaps it would be better if we called off the negotiations entirely, Mr. Marco, since you seem so lukewarm on the subject."
"Now, there you go, Mr. Noble, hot-headed and easily offended. That's something I must guard against. Our schedule of production is so carefully budgeted that we cannot afford delays for reasons of temperament or other personal discontents."
"Let me say this, Mr. Marco. In my years as an actor on Broadway, I doubt if you can find one director or producer who could truthfully say that I have slowed up any production by any outburst of temperament. I don't know what you think actors from the stage are like, Mr. Marco, but apparently you have an entirely wrong impression of them. The theater is a highly competitive and extremely hazardous profession. To gain any stature at all, it requires hard work and a capacity to take disappointment in your stride. Just why you should think that I would fly out here only to throw my weight about on your lot, I can't imagine. Evidently, Tom Bryson didn't give you a very good idea of the kind of man I am."
"He was very enthusiastic, Mr. Noble. And it's the reason why I allowed myself to be persuaded to give you a chance at this part. If you're quite sure it's what you want, then I'm prepared to go ahead."
"How can I be sure when I haven't even seen the script?"
"Well, it's a very strong story."
"That may very well be. But don't you think it would be entirely unwise for me to sign for a picture without even seeing the story?"
"Well, let me tell you, Mr. Noble, that I'm not agreeing to any changes in the script."
"I haven't asked for any changes. I've merely said I want to see the script. Going into a picture blindfolded would be as risky for me as starting production on a script you hadn't seen before the first day's shooting.
Very well, then. I have the final script here on my desk. And please, Mr. Noble, don't take too long making up your mind. We've delayed shooting for 2 days as it is, and each day adds to the cost. If you sign for this picture, I want to get to work at once.
I'll be ready whenever you say. If I think the script is right for me. Tom Bryson quoted your figure as $1,500 a week. That's not nearly what I've been offered in the past, Mr. Marco. And in the event I make this picture, I hope you'll see to it the details are kept from being known around Hollywood.
You may be sure nothing will be talked about from my studio. Now then, here's the script. And I'd prefer it if you didn't take it off the premises.
If you'll give me an office somewhere and 2 hours to read it, I can promise you a decision, Mr. Marco.
Fine. Come right in here, this office that adjoins my own. You won't be disturbed here. I believe you'll be quite comfortable here.
I'm sure of it, Mr. Marco.
And if you want anything, just ring my secretary. I'll be waiting for your answer.
I'll have it in 2 hours.
Larry Noble, seething with anger and humiliation after this conversation, sits down to read the manuscript, knowing that he must do his best to sign this contract because he needs the money so badly and because he's determined to do everything possible to help Mary back to a comfortable life in her own home. And sometime later, back in the East, we find Mary in a New York hospital where Dr. Allen is changing the cumbersome bandages that have covered her hands and face for so many days. And we hear...
How does it look, Dr. Allen? Is there any improvement?
The condition is improving greatly, Mrs. Noble. I've rarely seen a patient make such progress in a burn of this kind.
Does that mean that when it's all over, my face will look almost the same? Or will there be ugly scars to make people uncomfortable when they have to look at me?
You can be sure of a very good recovery, Mrs. Noble. I won't promise that it'll be perfect. These burns almost always leave their traces, but you need not fear that you will be greatly disfigured. There will be nothing substantially changed about your expression if the healing goes on as it has.
Oh, you aren't just saying this to make me more cheerful.
I make it a point not to lie to patients. In cases like these, it only postpones the inevitable and makes the final acceptance that much more difficult.
But you said...
I'm reducing the thickness of the dressing, Mrs. Noble. That's a very good sign. In fact, I'm going to fix it so you'll be able to use your eyes to read, as long as you don't overdo. That should make things easier for you during the next days.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dr. Allen. If I could only have a mirror just for a minute, just to make sure.
I advise you to wait for the time being. It's better, Mrs. Noble.
And my face is still badly disfigured? You wouldn't be so anxious to keep me from looking in a mirror if it weren't.
It's only because you're not able to judge the degree of healing as I am, Mrs. Noble. To you, the present appearance might not seem as greatly improved as you'd hoped. But I assure you, the progress is remarkable.
I see. Dr. Allen, you've been very kind to me, and I have the greatest confidence in you. I'm sorry if I seem to be impatient, but the time drags so some days.
Of course it does. But now that I'm able to uncover your eyes, you'll find it much easier. I want you to be careful, though. Don't tie your eyes right at first. Remember that you must adjust them gradually to the light and the strain of reading. Oh, there you are, Miss.
I'm sorry it took so long, Doctor. They had to send down for several of the dressings.
You have everything now?
Yes, Doctor.
Good. I'm about to put a much lighter bandage on Mrs. Noble's face. I mean to adjust it so that she can have the use of her eyes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful, Mrs. Noble?
Oh, it's very exciting, nurse. Although Dr. Allen says I mustn't read for the time being. Not right away, that is.
That's too bad, because while I was outside, a telegram came for you.
Oh, do you have it there, nurse?
Yes, in my pocket.
Read it to me. It's probably from my husband. Is it all right if she reads it, Dr. Allen? I've been so anxious to hear from Larry.
Very well. You may as well read it while I'm getting ready to fix these bandages.
Is it from Larry? Tell me right away, please.
Yes, it's signed Larry.
Oh, thank goodness.
It says, Hollywood, California, Tuesday, February 20th.
Just read me the message, Miss Clark.
All right. It says, fine trip out and everything working out beautifully. Tom sends you best love. Feel sure this is the best thing to do. Take care, darling. All my love. It's signed Larry.
Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad for it? So terribly glad.
No, now then, that won't do. You can't have any tears. Try to control yourself, Mrs. Noble.
I'm all right, Dr. Allen. It was just hearing from my husband and being so happy that he's doing so well. I just know it's going to be so much easier for him to be out there in Hollywood. Until all this is over.
The nurse frowns in disapproval at Mary's words, and Dr. Allen continues to wrap the bandage over and over her face in total silence. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway stars.